If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Welcome to The Point After on WDVE Pittsburgh. The entire Steelers radio broadcast team is here to break down the last game. Here's your host, Missy Matthews.
We didn't play nearly well enough in any of the phases, and significantly I thought that we got beat up front on both sides of the ball, and they won the line of scrimmage. And when you win the line of scrimmage, the game has a chance to look like that.
Hi, everybody. I am Missy Matthews. Welcome to The Point After, presented by Parks Casino and Comcast Business. Your business depends on internet. Get internet your business can depend on. Comcast Business, built for business. Joining me, as always, Bill Hillgrove and Craig Wolfley. And Billy, we just heard there from Coach Tomlin alluding to the ugly game that we saw yesterday in Cincinnati. What's your biggest takeaway, knowing that the Steelers now sit at 5-5-1?
Was that the Steelers in Cincinnati yesterday? I think they were masqueraders.
It looked like it.
Well, and to Coach's point, one stat just tells the story. Najee Harris, 2.9 yards a carry. Joe Mixon, 5.9 yards a carry. Now, Mixon's a fine back, but he's not that much better than Najee Harris. And, you know, that pretty much puts the thing out there that, as the late Myron Cope would say, it was a real clunker.
You know, the funny thing about it, Missy, and by the way, I think you're the missing link. You got to come back.
Yes.
We need you back. You know, you go.
I'm doing my best.
Yeah, you're not there, and all of a sudden things just start going downhill, girl. So you are that. So I will tell you this. I think the whole game almost could be summarized in that play at the end of the third quarter when Alex Highsmith jumped up into the air to knock down a pass to Joe Mixon. He's in the right place. He executes a great athletic movement. I mean, he jumps in the air, knocks it up, and he's catching the ball as he's falling, and it bounces when he hits the ground. It pops up and right into the hands of Joe Mixon, who comes back. And it's like, you can't catch a break. I mean, it was just that bad.
Yeah, it really just seemed like it was that snowball effect. And, you know, Ben said after the game, sometimes there's games like this, maybe once a season, maybe once every few years. But, you know, I think my biggest thing, Billy, was that, you know, the LA game, you knew you were missing a bunch of starters, particularly on defense. No Joe Hayden, no TJ Watt, no Minkah Fitzpatrick. And everybody walked away from that saying, okay, I bet you if we had those guys, they could have maybe won this game. So not that it was a moral victory, but you felt a little bit better. But then this happens, and you had TJ Watt back. You had Minkah Fitzpatrick back. And I didn't walk away from this one feeling the same way.
Yeah, and I think the difference, Missy, in the L.A. game, people were wide open. And I think they really missed the communication abilities of Minkah Fitzpatrick. And people weren't in the right position. And as a result, Herbert was able to take off and run with the ball to green pastures. And, you know, receivers were wide open. And I think it was that Arthur Marlett made a mistake on the one play, and it resulted in a big touchdown. But this one was different because people seemed to be there, but they didn't make plays. To Wolf's point about Highsmith, here's a chance to make an interception. he doesn't. Not only that, he has the ball bounce into the wrong hands. I don't know. Is there a word to describe yesterday other than something that would offend people?
I can only say that I've been there, done that, felt that. I don't know how you put a word to it, though.
Yeah.
It's just a terrible feeling knowing. Again, you know, you go all the way back to 1989, and we lost here in Cincinnati 42-10. And by the way, our tight end got donked in the dinger just like Freiermuth did, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, gosh.
That bad. You talk about a rough day. That was
the turnover game, right? Were there seven that game?
I think that was the Cleveland game.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think there was eight in that game.
I should know better.
Oh, that cold game in Cleveland, yes. I think Charlie Batch started at quarterback.
No, actually, I'm talking about
Oh, you're talking back in 89?
Yeah. Yeah. Like before you were born,
yes,
Missy.
Yes, you were. You know? You were not even a toddler.
But we had like eight turnovers.
I was thinking of the game in Cleveland. Maybe there wasn't eight. Maybe it was only seven. Yeah. It was definitely during my time with the team. I'm pretty sure Charlie was starting for Ben. I believe it was like Isaac Redman was on the team, and it just felt like nothing was going right there.
You're pretty much right about that.
A poem that doesn't rhyme. Oh.
Yeah. All right, so the line of scrimmage, though. You know, we heard Coach say we couldn't win the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, no matter what was going on. Woof, did you go back and watch, and was there anything you could pinpoint that is something that is fixable, knowing that the Baltimore Ravens are coming to Heinz Field in a few days?
And they like to run.
There's no question about it. And, yes, when you look at it, I mean, you have to understand, right now we are beyond the schematics. The old saying, it's not the X's and O's, it's the Jimmies and the Joes. That's truly what's happening right now, because without some of our upper-level players, some guys are being exploited more and more. And part of the problem is, you know, you wonder, T.J. Watt, how good is that knee, that hip? You know, is there any residual effect there? But I just watching it, you got Cam Hayward, and you put him at nose tackle, and, you know, it's like you take the best things of Cam and you've got him in that nose tackle where it's a jam spot. You know, you've got basically, it's a 3-on-1 brawl on the inside there, and nobody brawls better than Cam, but I will tell you, as a 3 technique and even as a 5 technique, that's where his movement abilities and his strength and his ability to be able to penetrate the pocket to get to the quarterback, those are what's best utilized as. But they're trying everything they can, whether it's putting Devin Bush down at an end-of-line guy at times based on whether, you know, they've got multiple tight end formations or they bring in a jumbo tight end or they go bunch or what have you, or it's Joe Schobert. They're trying various combinations and packing the box and everything else. And nothing seems to be working, and certainly much of it was that the Cincinnati offensive line came off and they established their ability to move people in the box.
Billy, in your opinion, what was the turning point in the game where you felt like it just got too far out of reach for the Steelers to maybe try to do what they did in L.A.?
I think it was early on. The Bengals opened the game with a 75-yard drive, and Burrow finds some room off the left side for the 8-yard touchdown, his first rushing touchdown of the year. And then Ben throws the pick to Eli Apple. He returns it, but the defense dug in and held it to 10-0. Now the offense takes over. Claypool gets that long bomb, and, you know, you have a first and 10 at the 22 with a chance to make a dent into this 10-0 lead, and what do? You have to throw the ball away. That's on the O-line. Von Bell broke up a pass. And then on third and 10, it was, Chase Claypool fell down. And then you had to settle for the Bosworth field goal. It's 10-3. If you get 10-7 there, I think the game doesn't slip away. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just my thought.
Yeah. You know what, Missy? I'll say this. 10-7 sounds so much better than 10-3. But the resulting rest of the actions that went there, and I know Billy would agree with me, you know, there's no accounting to the snowballing effect that it started.
Oh, God.
Once you start having those turnovers, once you start having the continuous pummeling by Joe Mixon. Look, that first drive, as Billy described, 75 yards, 7 carries, 49 yards by Mixon. I mean, that was punch, 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 and punch again. And it just continued. And unfortunately, the Steelers, every now and then, they'd be able to rise up, get a stop, but then it would settle back into not getting off blocks, not being able to cover your gaps. Somebody went a little too high. Somebody didn't fill theirs, and they kept being torn at and gashed in those certain points.
Messi, as I watched the game unfold, I have visions of Ben turning and handing the ball to Najee, and he runs into a pile of folks. I see Burrow turning and handing the ball to Mixon, and boom, he's got a lane. And I think that was the difference in the game.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the where I really started to maybe lose the faith was, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick finally gets the infamous, you know, interception that we've been wanting to see. It felt like there was some juice going. It was still 24-3 at that point right before the half. But you're like, okay, this, you know, something good could come from here. And then the pick six to Mike Hilton, of all people, you know, good for him against his former team. I think he was a little extra juiced for that one.
Yeah.
But that was really, you know, heading in 31-3 at the half. Joe Burrow was 14 of 16, 154 yards, one touchdown, the rushing touchdown Billy talked about. And Billy, like you said, you know, Joe Mixon in just the first half, 20 carries, 117 yards. You know, we're at the point where we would take that if that was Najee's stats for the whole game. And it just felt like that offense was able to slice and dice and do whatever they wanted.
And then, you know, T. Higgins goes up for a ball with James Pierre, and Pierre's in position to make a play, and he just doesn't make the play. What did you see on that, Wolf?
Well, he was playing a nice job by James Pierre playing butt ball on a go route along the sidelines. You know, he's trying to work him towards the sidelines. He's in great position. He gets his head around and everything, but he twists at the last second, and you've got a 6'4", 220-pound T. Higgins that's able to elevate and get to the high point of the catch. And, you know, James just kind of boondoggled it when he got twisted around. And he used his opposite hand trying to go for the ball. And it was just – it's unfortunate. I mean, we've seen James Pierre make some better plays, be able to do better, but that one was really – T. Higgins was just showing him that's what an elite NFL receiver can do, is capable of. I believe what – he had 117 yards or something, did T. Higgins?
T. Higgins, 114 on six receptions.
There you
an
go.
Average of 19, which any coach will take any day of the week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And so that's an unfortunate play. But, again, you know, this is part and parcel of the Jimmys and Joes that you're dealing with. That could have been Joe Hayden, and it might have been a different matter.
Now, when it rains, it pours, as I was saying to Billy earlier today when we were texting back and forth. T.J. Watt placed by the Steelers on the reserve COVID-19 list. So that obviously puts his availability for Sunday against the Ravens at home in jeopardy. We'll have to follow that throughout the week. And you mentioned, you know, it's not the X's and O's anymore, Wolf. So what has to happen? You know, the team obviously met today. Tuesday's a player's day off. Coach Tomlin holds his press conference. What's going to happen in this next 48 hours before they even hit the practice field on Wednesday?
Wow. Well, you know, the schematics are going to rise, but again, it's going to fall to the guys that are performing it. And again, now you're looking at Taco Charlton. You're looking at Derek Tuska to come along and apply themselves in a position where, you know, you got a potential defensive player of the year. Not able to answer the bell against one of the most, I don't know, powerful offenses or running teams anyhow in the NFL with a guy that is just, I don't know if you saw the Cleveland game last night. I mean, it came to the point where Myles Garrett had to come up and just kind of shake his hand on a play when he evaded about four or five Browns and still threw a touchdown pass.
For every other quarterback in the league, that's a big sack.
Yeah.
Except for Lamar.
Yeah, and it was rather amazing. So what's going to happen between now and Wednesday, you're going to try and come up with a defensive schematic that's going to enable you to best use what Derek Tuska and what Taco Charlton do. But there's the realization that, you know, this is not T.J. Watt. And that in and of itself creates a lot of problems.
But my point would be, Wolf and Missy, I don't remember mentioning T.J.'s name at all yesterday in Cincinnati. So is he really T.J. Watt right now? You know, so, I mean, I hate to look at it that way, but how much are we going to miss if he's not T.J. Watt right now?
Well, I still would miss him at any point in time with whatever he's got. You know what I'm talking about.
Just his presence, yes, but.
Right.
Oh, gosh. It's frustrating. It really is.
Yeah, he actually had he had one tackle, one assist, so he had two tackles. All right. He wasn't as effective as he normally is. I'm wondering that, you know, how much you can with powerfully bend that knee and explode off it, or that hip, if it didn't leave him a little bit, you know, problematic there. Because a player's power comes from his lower back and hips and in his ham hocks, you know.
The big muscles.
Yeah, the big muscles. And you don't know what he's getting out of them. If he's actually able to generate a lot of power or that quickness and speed that he's noted for, if that knee or that hip is giving him problems. Now, having said all that, he's got game brains. He understands down distance, route selection, trees, all that stuff, and where he's got to be defensively speaking to give the Steelers the best opportunity to defend. But, you know, that's something that, you know, you don't see from a Taco Charlton or a Derek Tuska. I mean, it's still something that TJ can do. An 80% TJ is still better than most other players.
And TJ missed the week 3 matchup at Heinz Field with the Bengals. And then Billy, as you said, you know, coming off of the 2 injuries that he was dealing with the hip and the knee, to play against Cincy this time. And he historically has done really well against them in 8 games, 7.5 sacks, 3 forced fumbles. But as you said, when you look at the stat line and even just thinking about, you know, what you were mentioning, but in terms of injuries though, Robert Spillane, somebody who we've seen maybe reinfused back into the Steelers defense, he's dealing with a knee injury. And Pat Freiermuth, as you said earlier, Wolf, was being evaluated for a concussion. Those are 2 injuries that Coach mentioned after the game yesterday. Of course, his press conference is tomorrow at noon, so maybe we'll learn a little bit more if Joe Hayden will be back this week or not. But it just, you know, as I said, when it rains, it pours. And now knowing that TJ is possibly not going to be there and you're dealing with a number of other injuries, it just feels like saying next man up, Billy, is reaching the point where it's who is the next man up.
Well, and if you look at the style of football that the Baltimore Ravens will bring here, it's unique. You know, Lamar is always a threat, and it's tough to defend him. I think the best teams that have defended him have put a couple of safeties of like 15 yards off the ball and made sure that he wasn't going to get any more than 15 yards. And you hate to say that. I don't think Lamar is going to tear your secondary apart. Yeah, he's going to go to Andrews a lot, and Andrews is a force to be reckoned with and a great receiver. Made a catch last night that defied description.
Yeah.
But, you know, so you have to stop the run this week, or at least slow it down if you have any chance to beat Baltimore, who's been installed as a 3-point favorite.
Well, that's not surprising. And, again, you know, the fact that he could, Lamar, that being Lamar Jackson, could throw 4 interceptions and they still win is, you know, that just shows you their ability just to grind when things are not going well aerodynamically, shall we say. but the fact is, you know, this Baltimore team is a powerful upfront offensive line that's going to be a problem for the Steelers' defense. Let's face it, if you are having problems getting off blocks and making tackles, this is a tough time to be coming into, you know, Baltimore, and I'm sorry, into Heinz Field with Baltimore coming in. So that's going to be a huge problem. So what job number one is going to be, control the ball. So, you know, you keep Lamar over on the sidelines as much as possible. That's always the best, you know, defense is a good offense. And then secondly is you're going to have to get back to whacking him every opportunity you can get, making sure to tackle the mesh point when they run the option stuff, all those little things that can add up to maybe bumps and bruises that Lamar throws some errant balls. I'm glad that we got Minka back, so glad, because still, you know, no matter what you think, that guy really does a great job of making the back end tight and keeping things aligned just right. And certainly you're going to have to find a way to neutralize some of the blocking schemes, which are rather unique. You know, they got a guy Picard, the nose tackle.
He's a defensive
fullback.
End, yes.
Yeah, he's 300 pounds.
Right.
But they do some unique blocking combinations with him as if he was a guard, because he is a 300-pounder. He is a big beef eater, and it's rather unusual, some of the things that they do. So it's going to be a problem.
And they put their blocking tight end in the backfield with him.
Yeah.
I mean, and it becomes,
You got a lot of
impenetrable.
A lot of meat on the hoof there.
All right, we have much more to talk about. The Steelers falling to the Cincinnati Bengals 41-10. The Baltimore Ravens coming to town. But first, I want to tell you, for the most complete selection of Steelers merchandise, from official sideline gear and authentic memorabilia to our extensive selection of jerseys and terrible towels, visit one of the official Steelers Pro Shop stores located at Heinz Field, Grove City Premium Outlets, or Tanger Outlets, or you can visit us online at shop.steelers.com for all of your Steelers merchandise needs directly from the team. You're listening to The Point After, presented by Parks Casino and Comcast Business, right here on DVE. We'll be right back.
Back to The Point After on DVE.
Not a lot to be said. You know, you get your butt kicked. It happens sometimes. I'm not going to say that it happens to every team every year, but these things happen. And, you know, it's kind of those ones that you can, you know, I know that we have to come in tomorrow and we're going to meet and talk about it. To me, there's not a lot to talk about. We got our butt kicked, and it is what it is.
Welcome back to The Point After, presented by Parks Casino and Comcast Business. Missy Matthews, Bill Hillgrove, and Craig Wolfley taking you to the top of the 8 o'clock hour. We heard from Ben Roethlisberger there, Billy. He threw his first pick since week 4. That was a span of 174 passes without an interception. And after the Steelers had their 3-game losing streak, the winning streak was successful because they weren't turning the ball over.
Yeah, and lost a turnover battle by 2. Stephen A. Smith got me riled up today. I shouldn't let him do that because I know he cares about the Steelers. But for him to say that Ben should walk away, you know, that Ben wasn't the problem. Ben was part of the problem, but he wasn't the problem yesterday. Mike Tomlin said it happened up front, and I think it's reflected in not only the losing the turnover battle by 2, and if you lose it by 2, you're probably going to lose a game, but you'd not necessarily be embarrassed, but then you factor in the Frank Reich stat, which is, you know, the time, the average gain per pass.
Right, average and, depth of target.
It was 5.7 for the Steelers and 6.4 for Cincinnati. And, you know, you combine that with the turnovers and butt-kicking is what you're going to see, and that's what we saw.
Probably the things that really upset me so much was thinking about the 75-yard run or 75-yard touchdown, the drive, or opening drive. Then you come back with another 75-yard drive that featured 5 of 5 passing or something like that, or 5 of 6 passing, and going down the field and culminated with another touchdown. And then you've got an 84-yard touchdown drive that featured Joe Mixon running for, on consecutive plays, something like 9 yards, 9 yards, 8 yards, 8, 9. You know, I mean, half a dozen carries there. And that's where the game just started to get away, because you've got one team that is physically putting it on another team. You are, just getting it's like a body bash. You know, you're just knocking guys down. And when you are physically imposing your will such as that, that leaves a mark on the player's psyche and on the team. And in the second half, it was just a little bit more of the same, though the Steelers, again, rallied a little bit, but it wasn't enough by far.
Knowing that that's exactly, you know, the punching, the body bags, the physicality, well, if that's what's going to hopefully happen on Sunday when the Baltimore Ravens come to town. That's what the AFC North football, as Coach Tomlin likes to say, is known for. It gets hot in the kitchen. So how do the Steelers change gear and become that team that is the more physical team and tries to beat up the other team? How do you do that?
Well, it starts in the mind. You know, this comes together in knowing the fact that if you don't play your very best football, you're in danger of being run out of your own home stadium. I mean, that's as real as it gets. And that is something that I would think absolutely puts a bolt of lightning in the step of these guys as they prepare this week. Look, you've got this team coming in, and if you don't play, again, to your very best, they are going to come and put it on you, and they're going to want to put it on you in a bad way. And think about it. Think about all the games in the past, 2 trains, 1 track, mm-hmm. all that sort of AFC North that we've talked about and we've watched over the years. If you think that in any way, shape, or form that Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh and his Ravens are going to give a little quarter, No. You know, and that's really the mindset you got to have. You ask no quarter, you give no quarter. Why did the Steelers play their starters all the way through? Mike Tomlin said it best, you know, we needed more work. You ask no quarter, you give no quarter. Cam Hayward said, look, I'm a four-quarter guy. I'm here to stay. I'm going to play this whole game. You don't just, you know, come in and out and, gee, things aren't going well. Well, pull me. No. I mean, you're there and you are locked in and you're going to battle to the end with your boys. That's the Steeler way. Ben said it. That's the way it should be done. You fight your way all the way through it.
Billy, in terms of the Steelers defense, coach was after the game, you know, if he was alarmed giving up 40 plus points back to back weeks, and he admitted it is alarming, and they're not trying to play cool. You know, it is what it is. How do you justify something like that? You know, you were mentioning Stephen A. Smith, but a lot of former Steelers as well kind of voicing there, you know, that's not Steelers football. That's not the hard-nosed defense that we play. What do you think in terms of just, you know, two games back-to-back where they're doing things that we would consider uncharacteristic of the Steelers?
Missy, I go to Murphy's Law. You know, when things go bad, they could get worse. And after last week, I didn't think that that could happen again, much less the following week. Now, your question is this a sign that this season is going to head or spiral more downhill? And as Greg said, it's up to the players to say, no, we're not going to let this happen. And if you can't, you know, get crazed for the Baltimore game, then there are real problems that have to be addressed. And Mike Tomlin said in response to one of the questions after the game, possible changes? He said, yes, there are possible changes. He admitted that. what changes can you make personnel-wise that's going to turn this thing around? As Craig said, it's got to start with the individuals on the field, the guys who are there. And I'm not saying that Cam Hayward has to turn his game around because he was there the whole game. Right. He was fighting till the finish. And I really thought Ben fought to the finish. Ben finally got it into the end zone. And, you know, we're spoiled. Going to Cincinnati is like, okay, a few Steelers fans will be there at the end and we'll celebrate another win. And it just didn't happen yesterday, quite the opposite.
No, and dead gummit, we didn't get to see the Escaloosa in action.
Well, we saw it, but there were happy people.
Yeah,
instead of just staying into the depths, they were going for a party somewhere. And that kind of riles me up, too.
Well, think about this. Out of 17 trips there, Ben's run the Escaloosa 14 times. I wanted to see it again.
Yep. Gosh.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. The Bengals have not swept the Steelers since 2009. I think, you know, week three and knowing Joe Burrow is back from his injury, guys, you saw the connection that he had with Ja'Marr Chase. They have some pieces. It's what happens when you have the high draft picks and a lot of salary cap room. But I think playing them again this week and seeing what they were able to do, I do think they are going to be a team that the Steelers are going to have to contend with, Billy, for years to come, too.
Yep, they have the pieces, and they're putting them together. I'm not sure the Browns are putting it together. And the Browns, you know, you have got Clowney on one side. You got, Miles Garrett on the other side. They should be terrorizing people, and they're not. I don't think they've learned how to win yet. But I think the Bengals have. And I think, it's up to the Steelers to tell Baltimore, we know you're the number one seed in the conference, you and the guy up in New England. But we're not going away. We're not going away easily. That has to be the message all week long.
And a lot of it, Missy, they put a lot of money, that being the Bengals, in their defense. I mean, you take a look at it. DJ Reader, you know what I mean? That guy he's a Casey Hampton type guy. He's one of those guys that's a throwback to a pure nose tackle. He's 350 pounds. But they had two more guys that were 350. Think about trying to put those guys over at your house for Thanksgiving. Man, oh, man, you know how much bird they'd eat? Man, I mean, it's amazing. And they got Trey Hendrickson, who was on a sack tear. I think he had like seven games in a row with a sack. He's literally their version of T.J. Watt. You've got Sam Hubbard, who's another very fine front-end guy there. And you got a couple of good linebackers in Logan Wilson and Jermaine Pratt. But one of the strongest areas are the two safeties with Von Bell and Jesse Bates. Those guys, I mean, between the two linebackers, the two safeties, that's the top four tacklers right there down the middle. And there's a lot of strength there. And, you know, you got to say that Cincinnati's gone about putting together a pretty good defensive unit.
Going back to the Steelers' defensive unit, because you made me think about it, talking about them. Woof, Isaiah Bugs did not get a helmet yesterday. Coach said it was, you know, Cam Hayward was playing a little bit of nose to try to solidify the interior portions of the defense. Is there anything else like that that maybe, as Billy said, you're not going to be able to bring in all new people and change schematically what you're doing, but are there any small changes like that that could take place to maybe help better either side of the ball?
Yeah, we should have kept Casey Hampton here after the Hall of Honor and fed him all week long, man. I mean, that would have been great, you know. But the fact of the matter is, part of the problem, too, is that you got teams now that come out in a lot of 11 personnel, so you're going to play your nickel. And so that takes away the nose tackle stuff. It's when they go to multiple tight end formations and such as that, that you're going to have a nose tackle and so forth. And to me, again, Cam, he solidifies so much, but I like him as a three technique. I like him as the guy that, you know, flip from guard to guard on the outside shoulder, play a five technique, what have you. He's just that mobile, and he is that hard to block one-on-one. And you watch him. He's always getting a double team, but the other rest of the guys have to take advantage of that. They have to win their one-on-ones, and there just wasn't enough one-on-one winning yesterday at all, by far. And it's a shame. These guys – they've shown before. They know how to win. They've got five wins that says, you know, they know how to win. Now, what you can look at some of the things that have caused the downfall of it, but the fact of the matter is stopping the run and being able to run the ball are two of the biggest factors that come into winning in the NFL, and they've just not been able to consistently do either.
All right, the Ravens coming to town on Sunday, followed by a short week, a Thursday night matchup in Minnesota. We're going to talk much more about the Steelers' loss to the Bengals, preview a little bit more, talking Steelers and Ravens. You're listening to The Point After, presented by Parks Casino and Comcast Business, right here on DVE. We'll be right back.
Back to The Point After on DVE.
We need to play freaking better. There's a whole lot that needs to be cleaned, and I won't discuss it right here, but I got to be better, I got to demand more, and I'll get back to it.
Welcome back to The Point After, presented by Parks Casino and Comcast Business. Your business depends on internet. Get internet and business you can depend on. Comcast Business, built for business. I'm Missy Matthews with Bill Hillgrove and Craig Woofley, and a very angry Cam Hayward, Billy, after the game yesterday. Didn't want to discuss stuff with the media. It sounds like, I would assume, he might have discussed some of that frustration with his teammates prior to walking into that press conference room.
I don't think there's any question about it. He has developed into one of the best leaders I've seen on a Steelers team. And, you know, I can just imagine that the words were not couched in any nice terms. And that's what leaders do. You got to get people off their butts. You got to get them to have some pride in what they do. And, you know, when you see back-to-back performances where the Steelers give up 41 points consecutive weeks, you just hope it's not effort. You hope it's not effort.
No, I don't think I would have a hard time believing anybody's doing much sandbagging out there. You see there's some questionable effort from here and there, and that's when Mike Tomlin puts them on the news, as he calls it, you know, that
speaks through the media.
Yeah, you know, but the thing about it is, look, Cam is one of those forceful leaders. He comes out, he's going to put a lot of it on himself, but he also understands that he's kind of the lead sled dog, and the lead sled dog's got to pull the hardest, but he's also got to rally the ones around him. He is one of the few people, in my mind, that raises the level of all the guys around him to a higher level. And that's just by his presence, which, you know, very few people in that organization are capable of doing. Now, the thing that I love is he's talking about himself first, in the first place. In the first is all about you as an individual leading from the front. How do you do that? You got to play better. You got to play harder. I go back to 72 when the Steelers, I wasn't there. This is before my time, but, you know.
Where were you in 72?
Yeah, 72. I was in high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but, you know. Joe Green playing the Houston Oilers, Steelers needed the win, and he went in there with like half a dozen starters who were either sick, out of the game, what have you, and in a one-man show, I believe the Steelers won 9-6 or 9-3, and Joe had, he set a club record of 5 sacks and How many tackles for loss? I don't know. He forced a fumble, recovered a fumble, blocked a kick. I mean, he was just amazing. And sometimes that sort of effort epitomizes not just the leader, that being Joe, but also enables the guys around him to rally. And you know, I don't know, a Herculean, superhuman effort like that, I don't know how Cam can pull any more out of himself, because he certainly has been playing great all year long, and it's up to the other guys to come around and be that support group that plays better together as a whole. And they've got to upgrade themselves. And Chuck talked about this way back in 89, and he called it synergy. And because Chalooch isn't here, my good brother Tunch, who always corrected me on it because I always got it backwards. But, you know, synergy is the sum of the whole is greater than the individual parts. Okay, so we got that. Everybody, if they just pick up their playing ability by 1%, increase their effort by 1%, their production by 1%, you know, you've got a 47% increase in productivity. And Chuck preached that all the time. And it was all about, listen, it's not about doing the miraculous things. It's about doing the regular things steadily over and over again, the fundamental things. And that's really what it is all about, being, you know, part of a team. It's being part of that group that rises up in a synergistic effect. And you just kind of keep repolishing the floor and just make it a little stronger each time you do.
Ladies and gentlemen, Craig Wolfley throwing $10 words around. Who'd have thunk?
And you know what?
Chalooch, maybe you should speak to the team.
You know, Missy, I'm sitting there thinking, I bet you Tunch is listening and going, he got it wrong again.
We've talked so much about the mentality, you know, what they can change heading into this Ravens game. And I'll pose this question to both of you. Is it more motivating knowing you got your butt kicked by a team that you usually manhandle? Or is it more motivating that the Ravens, a team that you always clash with, you throw the records out of the window, you know, all the cliches, which one is more motivating at this point heading into this matchup?
I think the Ravens are secondary. I think the first point you made is the correct one. You were embarrassed. You embarrassed yourself, and you, in the process, embarrassed this great franchise, and you embarrassed the Steelers Nation. And that alone should be enough for a lot of people to say, it's not going to happen again.
You know, what's funny, Missy, is even as Billy's saying this, it just curdles your pride as a player and as a man, you know, to go out there and have been waxed like that. So it does give you an awful lot of juice to sit there and go, you know, I'm mad as heck. I ain't taking it no more. And, you know, that sort of thing. But on the other hand, you've got a nice bookend here, because you've got an overwhelming force coming in that has always presented itself as a great fisticuff type of event. And I don't mean actual fisticuffs, but the fact is there's just a lot of going at it in the trenches there. It's one of those great games where you can not worry about the cheap shots, because they are going to come and you don't have to apologize for them, because you both understand the gravity of the situation. I mean, it is the Ravens. It is the Steelers. We're talking two trains, one track again, and we'll see how it bears up. But I think the fact that you got your butt waxed a little bit there this past week, and now you're facing those guys that you can barely stand to look at, it provides a great impetus.
And those guys are capable of doing the very same thing to you.
Oh, yes, exactly. Exactly. That's the other thing about it, Missy. You know, if you are not spot on, if you are not on point in all your reads, your techniques, everything about it, you can get embarrassed yet again. And I can guarantee you that Cam Hayward and Ben Roethlisberger, there are two guys right there that don't want any part of that, and they're going to lead from the front, and I think we're going to get their best efforts.
No one wants to see an angry Cam, that's for sure. Speaking of the Ravens, let's take a look around the NFL, brought to you by Clearview Federal Credit Union, your financial partner for life, clearviewfcu.org. We talked about the game that I'm sure everybody watched last night. Even heading into halftime, I'm like, what am I watching? You know, after watching Steelers, Bengals, Browns, and Ravens, the Ravens won that one 16-10. The Browns are now 6-6. The Ravens, of course, 8-3. Some other AFC scores for you. The Patriots, you know, they're on a win streak, beating the Titans 36-13. And, you know, heading into this game, the Steelers were maybe not so far in terms of looking good in terms of possibly a playoff spot, but then you come out of this weekend and all the wrong teams winning that they needed to not. And, you know, as coach always says, Billy, it starts with what you can control and what happens in the stadium that you're playing in.
The last thing you want to do is to depend on the scoreboard. That's the last thing in the NFL that anybody wants to do is say, well, we need that team to know. Do it yourself.
No question about it. And you don't want to be scoreboard watching. You know, I remember back in the day.
Oh,
you know,
Ryan Succop. There's just one example. We needed a field goal, and he didn't make it.
You know, it was so funny because back in the day, it would be you'd hear the coaches say, "We don't want to be scoreboard watching." You know, Nobody be looking over. You know, that sort of thing. And it was crazy. You know, but here's the thing about it. And you said it best, and Coach said it best. That'd be Coach T. Is the fact that you control what you can control, which is your effort, your ability to control whatever's going on in the stadium that day. However it turns out towards the overall standings, you have no control over that. The only thing you can do is go out and punish somebody and win the dadgum game to throw Keith Butler at you.
I like that. You've thrown a few of those in there tonight, Wolf. I've been keeping tally marks. I think you're at three. Billy, we talked about, you know, using the Ravens game, a division game, a home game as a motivational factor. If the Steelers are able to get this, what does that do for the Steelers overall in terms of, you know, righting some wrongs of a bad trend that we've seen over these last few games?
Well, if you can pull off a win against Baltimore, I don't think the playoff picture is any concern or should be any concern of you, although that's where the fans reside. But as a player, I think you got to start to feel good about yourself, and then you know that you're going to face the Ravens again, and I, you know, if the bottom has been hit by this ship, this is an ideal position to use to, you know, get back up on the surface of the water, and I think that's the whole tack of Mike Tomlin and his coaching staff and these players, that's the tack they have to take. You know, it's time to be positive, do something positive, win a game.
And as they say back in the day, winning covers up a lot of sins.
Hides a lot of warts.
Well, indeed. But, you know, the thing about it is, once you get that win, then it becomes, can you stack another on there? And then it becomes that nice synergistic type of effect where you get the guys motivated, get them playing at a higher level, and it comes together in a positive way. But, you know, until you get that win that takes away this tasteful taste out of your mouth, such as this Bengals game. This Bengals game will leave a taste like skyline chili in your mouth, I think.
Oh.
You know, so it's...
I passed yesterday, by the way.
Yeah, I did too.
I had a chocolate chip
cookie. Believe
it
or not, I even passed on the chili.
Oh, okay? My goodness.
Yeah, that's unheard of.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, no,
I was going to say it's a bad taste, like when you got your mouth washed out with soap, but that works too.
You know, ivory blows really good bubbles. I learned that from my mom.
I think the other thing too, you know, you look at the Steelers schedule, and it feels like we've been saying forever, oh, there's a lot of games left. There's really not. You know, after the Ravens, as I said, a short week against the Vikings, but then the teams that you're playing for the rest of that are all teams that are in this playoff talk in the AFC and games that are going to matter, the Titans, the Chiefs, the Browns, and then the Ravens again. So as Ben said, it is what it is. Not much you can say, but you really do need to do something if you don't want the season to end in the way that I think, Billy, all of us are hoping it does not end.
With all of those schedule challenges, you have great opportunity. And so I think these players have the opportunity to not only dissolve the bad taste in the mouth that the Bengals' performance left, but also to cast a better light on this season. And, you know, you don't worry about how was this season till it's over. But it would feel a whole lot better if they could stack a couple of wins. And I think that's what they have to think about. And no, they're not worried about a couple of wins. They're worried about those guys coming in from Baltimore in a game that should be held at midnight in a dark alley. You know, and that's their focus, and that's the way it should be. But, you know, you got to start to feel good about yourself. And what better time than now?
I agree with Billy. Look, the greatest challenge available right now is the Ravens coming into Heinz Field. I love that as a player. You know, the thing that you hated was that maybe you'd have a game like yesterday, and that would be like on the bye week, and you got a whole week, then you got to sit there with that awful taste in your mouth, that feeling like, wow, what a lousy game that was. You got to marinate in it. Sometimes
not marinate, fester.
Yeah, fester is a better word for it. But you know, the challenge. I mean, let's face it. You play this game because you love the challenge. You love the physicality. You love the opportunity to go out and do on Sunday what would put you in the hooskow on Monday, right? So the point is, this is one of those great challenges that is there for you. I think, you know, if I was Kendrick Green, man, I'd be just smiling because I'm thinking, I get a chance to lock up with a Brandon Williams. I can chase a Patrick Queen, you know, at middle linebacker, that I can get after these guys. This is an opportunity to state your case for who you are and what kind of player you are in this league. And those opportunities, they're getting shorter and lesser, you know, as we get moved through the end of the season here. But that's what it's all about. It's the challenge. And this is a great challenge in front of them.
All right. Well, we hope that the Steelers, who are sitting at 5-5-1, can make that 6-5-1. As you said, the Baltimore Ravens coming to Heinz Field on Sunday. AFC North football, who doesn't love that? A 4:25 kickoff. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening to The Point After, presented by Parks Casino and Comcast Business. For Bill Hillgrove, Craig Woofley, producer Tom, I'm Missy Matthews. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back here next Monday night on DVE.